This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
Freshly. Chef-cooked healthy meals delivered to your door. Save $40 off the six-meal plan for first-time users with code MMA639. J&P Cycles, the best aftermarket parts and accessories for your motorcycle. Save up to 30% off with code MMAN. Hostgator, one of the top web hosting providers around. Save 60% off of shared hosting for 3 years with code MMA60. Cigars Daily, the best premium cigars on the planet. Get an additional 5% off your entire order with code MMAAwesome. Defense Soap, the ultimate soap for wrestlers, jiu-jitsu, and MMA athletes. With the new peppermint oil bars and shower gel. Use code MMANUTS for 15% off.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 387.
387!
My name is Ingo Weigold.
We're at Griffith MMA Show. By MMA fans, for MMA fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous. Let's crack it. How's your agua de fresco?
It's great. I'm having a little head thing going on, so it's so humid in Chicago and hot. It's like 100 degrees with 100% humidity.
That's right.
My body's going, no. That's it. No beer.
So it's a woman on a date or something.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah. Those don't get second dates. Exactly.
That's a good response. I thought you were going to say something else. You could have went way different
on
with that.
On a date.
So, good for you.
The answer is no. The answer is sayonara.
Yes.
Whatever we're talking about, I'm not sure. But that being said,
paying for dinner, Ingo.
Paying for dinner. There you go.
Just say no.
I got a thing about that. I usually pay for dinner, unless I'm having a horrible
time.
Unless I'm having a horrible time, then you're gonna pay half.
You won't even stiff the bitch with the whole bill.
I feel terrible about that. I cover my portion. If it's shitty though, you're paying for yours, and I'll see you never.
That's right. You can enjoy your salad and your fucking...
Don't call me. Don't try to get a kiss and hug at the end of this thing. You paid for half your dinner. It should have been a sign. Just walk away. Walk away slowly.
Sounds fair.
See you later. All right. So let's talk MMA news because not much is going on. But I have news of the week for you. I know you're gonna love this because you have a love affair with Sage Northcutt. Sorry, we're talking about Cody Front.
Sage
Northcutt returning against Zach Otto. At UFC Boise. How do you feel? I know you've been talking about him a lot.
I feel awesome about the Sage Northcutt, so I'll just go right to his tweets, because he had tweeted about this, Ingo. Did you see his Thug Life tweet?
Did not? Oh, wow.
Check him out, man.
He's got a bat and everything. Did you do that?
No, that's Sage. And since Father's Day just happened, did you see him tweeting about him saying Happy Father's Day to his dad?
Holy shit, his dad is huge, man.
Like, riding on a horse. I think he's prepping his son to eat the goddamn Alistair Overeem horse meat.
His dad is bigger than the horse.
Yeah, talk about steroids and or genetics.
And this is the only picture they could find, the most recent one?
No, I think that's what he posted.
Nostalgic? Ah, I see.
I knew his dad was, pretty beefy, but I want to say his dad was involved in, allegedly, some steroid lawsuits.
That would explain the body style, yes, maybe, no.
But, I mean, if your dad loaded up on all the pills and juices and steroids...
And then jizzed, then you're probably going to have that in your...
You're probably going to get some freakish genetics.
Does that work like that?
Huh?
Does that work like that?
Yeah, you pass down some genetics like that.
Altering your genes through steroid enhancement?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to fight, so, you know, we'll
see.
Good
for him.
Are you excited?
Of course.
Is it going to be amazing?
Mr. Weigold, you are my favorite podcaster.
Yes.
He's the best.
We should have him on the show. He call you Mr. Griffin.
Mr. Matt. Like the kids.
Mr. Matt.
That's always the best.
Mr. Ingo.
The kids these days, they always call you by the first name. And it's random. You know, when we were kids, we were always taught, you know, I would have to call everyone like Mrs. and Mr. whatever their last name was.
Yeah.
Now the kids, you're lucky they even call you by the first name. Or if they're somewhat nice, they'll throw a Mr., like a Mr. Matt in front of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that good or bad, do you think?
I don't know. I feel weird if someone is calling me Mr. Griffith. Unless you're dating my daughter, then goddamn, you better be calling me Mr. Griffith.
Yeah.
We're not on a first name basis.
No.
Not at that point.
No.
We're going to have problems. We have words.
What about in, like, let's say in 20 years,
yeah,
if your daughter's like in her 30s and you meet
the That'd be different.
Do you still miss Mr. Griffith still? Still like to do with
No, I mean, if you've gotten married, then I think at that point you can call me.
Let's say that she and you are not married. Or obviously, but anyways, so is it still Mr. Griffith?
When?
If your daughter, say your daughter marries very late.
Yeah.
And she's in her 30s. And the man you meet is like in his 30s. It's a man, right?
Yeah.
It ain't no boy anymore.
Right.
Still Mr. Griffith?
As if you're dating her? Yeah. Once you get married, I think then it's okay.
Then it's Matt.
Yeah.
Or Mr.
I'll let you know when that...
Mr. Matt?
Yeah. You can call me Mr. Matt. I'll let you know what that point is. Whoever your potential suitors
are. Always lead with the Mr. Griffith.
That will keep you in good grace.
I see.
And I'll give you a little leeway.
I got you.
Because then it shows you have a little respect.
Respect is key.
Authority.
I see.
If you don't have respect, then we're going to have...
Okay.
No leeway in this relationship.
Curious. It's good to know. Just checking. Right. Man has perspective. I like it.
True.
Let's talk more MMA.
So did you hear the Snoopcast isn't returning for season 2 of the Contender Series?
Shocking.
I was just saying, are you surprised?
No.
Why not? I thought Matt Brown was so pissed off with Snoop Dogg to beat the fuck out of him.
I wonder if Snoop posted that shit about him boxing and all that just to try to gain some credibility.
Oh, I don't know what credibility he's gaining. That? Yeah, I do.
So, I don't know, the whole thing just rubs me the wrong way. I never saw it more than, like, for a second, just to check it out, and I didn't like it.
It was fucking horrible. They're drinking gin and juice, and I think he's smoking weed, and Faber's getting a contact high, and it's okay if you're doing a podcast, but it can't, the problem I had with it was that cannot be UFC sanctioned. No. You can't have a fucking professional sports league advocating, you know, whatever, drug use. If it was just on the side, fine. And I think the bigger issue I had was just the way he was talking about the fighters.
Yeah.
Like, he was disrespectful to the fighters.
He was.
So, now, I watched one of the shows the other day, and I forgot who was fighting on there. Greg Hardy, like, some big former NFL heavyweight, who apparently had a domestic violence background. Everyone's throwing a shit fit because... Oh my God, this guy is in here and he's going to beat people up. And that's a whole other side topic that I don't really want to talk about because it's hard when someone has CTE. Like, what are they supposed to do? I get it. You know?
Yeah.
I get it. So, Michael Bisping is one of the announcers. I forget who the other guy is, but Bisping's actually doing a really good job as a fucking color commentator.
Wow.
Which was kind of shocking to me. Cool. I didn't think he would be really good at that. No. He's good on the desk, and he's good next to the octagon. Wow. Calling the
fights. Just not in the octagon.
Right. Not a Hall of Famer.
No.
And then that was kind of shocking, too, because, you know, last week we had talked about, you know, should Matt Serra be in the UFC Hall of Fame, and should Michael Bisping. A lot of people thought Matt Serra should be in.
Really? You guys are high.
It's fucked up. Just because he's got, like, the biggest upset in the history of the UFC, I don't think that makes him fucking worthy. It does not make him worthy.
Yeah, it's a tough call, man. You shouldn't be in before some other people, that's for sure.
No, there's a lot more worthy contenders, so.
Yes.
What else you got for
Well, I want to talk to you about UFC 225, because earlier in the week, there were reports that they did only about 150,000 pay-per-view buys, and now the UFC has come out and said recently in the last day or two, that's not true. It's higher than that.
Well, what did they say? They said it was off by six figures. So it could be 50,000 is what some people were arguing.
Right. So I had some, the last few UFCs, the highest one was like the Cormier-Jones, Bisping GSP. Those were in the 800s, both of those. Outside of that, most of them have been below 300,000. There's been a couple of, like, Aldo Holloway was 167. Nunes versus Shevchenko was 100,000. So I don't know that this even at 150 or 200,000, let's say it's 200,000, it's not so outside the norm. But my question is I thought CM Punk was supposed to bring the couple hundred thousand pay-per-view buys.
Well, I don't think the person that put out this story has the exact figures, because I think that's wrong. I don't buy it. Because usually when you ask me, what do you think the pay-per-view buy rate is? I'm pretty fucking spot on.
You know.
I thought it was about 500.
You got inside info.
I got a feel.
For this one, you thought it was 500?
I felt it was 500. So I don't know what the bigger question is. Does it matter to the UFC? It doesn't matter right now because they got all that ESPN money. It really doesn't. And I forgot who put out an article, but they're basically saying the UFC is set through like
2023.
The next 4 years or so, right? 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
So pay-per-view is just like gravy at this point.
Yep.
I'm sure there is a break-even, and I don't know what that point is. It may just be 100,000. If you can do 100,000 and break-even, it doesn't matter. So I think that number is wrong, and two, I think it doesn't actually matter, which is a sad thing, you know?
They don't care.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Meh. I got ESPN cash, not to worry.
Yeah.
For at least 5 years.
Do you have anything about Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar? Or
well, I have. Yeah, I have a. I have a story that Lesnar supposedly is could potentially be at the July 7th pay per view, to be challenging the winner of the Miocic versus Cormier fight. Hmm. He also, if he's supposed to fight, if he wants to fight before the end of the year, or I think there's a 6 month USADA pool requirement, so he'd have to get into the pool before the end of this month. By the end of June, basically, in order to be able to be eligible to fight, you know, December on New Year's Eve, basically. Otherwise, he's not able to fight because the USADA thing.
Well, so. Ian Kidd had tweeted something out about USADA. He said, USADA's not confirming who is or isn't retired and who is or isn't eligible for testing. And basically saying that they, if Brock is back, he could technically be in the testing pool. But they're not being transparent at fucking all right now.
Why do you think that is?
Because they want to do those smoke and mirrors.
Ah.
And don't you think they'll do another special exemption for probably. Brock? I mean, he's probably not going to get whatever he got the last time, that 1 month free pass. But I would imagine they'll give him a 3 month pass where he has to allegedly get off of whatever. So December 29th, I think, was the first fight that they were looking at.
Yep.
If he fights the winner of Miocic and Cormier, which I fucking don't like at all. But let's do this Jon Jones fight, man.
I'm all for Jon Jones. That would be amazing.
Did you know Jones is like a pretty huge favorite in that fight, too?
I could see that. I think, honestly, I love Brock, and I'm sure Comprito will be in his corner. I think Jones will light him up. Like, I don't think that Jones is going to give him any space to do any of that wrestling shit. It's going to be forward, forward, forward. And, you know, Brock does
that
not
range,
like... He doesn't,
like,
yeah.
That reach, the fucking 85-inch, 84-and-a-half range.
The only thing is going to be the strength. So I don't know if Jones can... That would be the strongest guy he's ever probably fought.
Yeah, he's got to keep the distance, right? So
if Brock gets a hold of Jones, that could be bad news. You know, unless all of a sudden he's got...
Well, he's got to take him down. And that would be interesting to see because Jones has decent takedown defense.
He does, right? But he's
and
not...
And Jones... I wouldn't be surprised if Jones went and took Brock the fuck down.
You think so?
Yeah. He did it to Cormier.
Good point, good point. You know? Cormier's a lot lighter, though.
Not really. He's 240.
And how is Jones out of half guard? Because that's Brock's favorite spot, is like to be in the half guard on the top, you know? So how good
well,
is Jones?
Jones doesn't spend that much time on his back.
No.
You know?
These are questions. We would like the answers to.
Yeah, I'd rather. I think out of all those fights, the potential, you know, Lesnar versus Miocic, Lesnar versus Cormier, and Lesnar versus Jones, I think I like Lesnar versus Jones the most.
Yeah.
And then probably Lesnar versus Cormier second.
I think that's
a close second.
Right? I'd like to see if Cormier can out-wrestle him. I really would like
I
want to
see if he can pick him up and fucking heave him. Like I think he can, like he did to Barnett.
Yeah.
You know? That would be fun. So either way, it's fun. And
much less of a threat for Brock, too, with those dinosaur arms of Cormier. You know, he's got tiny arms.
But he still won't like to get hit.
No,
he
won't.
He can't get that out. Just, no. Some people got it, some people don't. And you know, I was talking to my brother recently, like this past week, about CM Punk. And just trying to get his thoughts on what the fuck's wrong with this guy. You know, what's the deal? And he was under impression he just doesn't have that gear of being a fighter, like that fighter mentality. Some people have it and some people don't. Uh-huh. He's like, this fucking guy, when you listen to him talk in the interviews and whatnot, he's not, it's just not in him. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about that part. Because I think about the muscle memory and not wanting to hurt someone.
Yeah.
But I also forget at times, like, you need to have that mean streak of where you want to fuck somebody up and put them away. And this guy probably doesn't have that here.
No, doesn't. You're
right.
We've
seen people in the gym who just, you don't have that fucking, they don't have that gear.
Yeah. I think I'm fall under that category probably myself. I don't have that extra gear of like...
You want to fuck somebody.
Not really, no. I mean, I want to get competitive. I want to have some fun. But that whole, like, that next level of kills, I just don't think I have that in me. And that's okay, you know? But, yeah, they're talking about him doing maybe jiu-jitsu or something, which would be fine. I think you can get away with doing that kind of mentality in jiu-jitsu, but not in, like, full MMA cage fighting. I think it's tough to...
No, in jiu-jitsu, I think that was his coach was advocating.
Yeah.
Like, and, my brother's other point was... What the fuck were the coaches? If they knew CM Punk was that shitty going in, why did they let him fight?
Because they wanted money.
Yeah, that was my answer.
It's pretty simple.
Fuck,
they want to get paid.
Exactly.
Oh, you want to fight? Okay, we'll get you ready.
Yeah.
You ready, champ?
Yeah, you're ready. You're the best.
Get
he's
out
like
there,
Edmund. Right? Yeah. You're the best ever. Go get him, champ.
Just go. Okay.
Head movement.
Yeah, like Rampage. Remember in the Ultimate Fighter? Yeah. Kick his ass.
Well, technically, what do I need to do? Kick his ass.
Do something.
Come on, Seabass.
That was the best.
Put him in a bottom bag, giant.
Best coaching ever. That's totally the way I coach. Kick his ass.
Yeah.
Thanks. Do something. What do you want me to do, coach? Anything other than that. That sucks.
Other than getting punched in the face repeatedly and habitually. It's not It's not a good life plan.
Yes, no. It is not.
But so jiu-jitsu-wise, I forget what he is, 38, 39. Do you think he could have, I don't know if he wants a career in jiu-jitsu,
I think he could.
But could he be successful?
He's got the wrestling background, whether it's fake or real. He's definitely got that. And if you mix in technicality, I think he could do all right.
Because I thought that, wasn't that where he started, was in jiu-jitsu? Wasn't he doing like one-offs with Henner or
Huron,
one of the guys? Because I think one of those guys was married to a WWE star.
I don't recall anything about jiu-jitsu, but maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Or maybe his wife has.
He was
jiu-jitsu?
Doing one-offs.
Oh, no, that's never mind. That's Anthony Bourdain's ex-wife I'm thinking of. Okay.
So where else to go?
I have one other story.
Go ahead.
And I think this is going to be good for you because I found out recently Craig White at the UFC Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about his crazy-ass weight cut? So
no.
he went from 216 pounds to 171 pounds. That's 45 pounds in a very, very short amount of time.
That's the short amount of
time. I want to say it's less than a month. I can't remember now. But the point is that he was training four times a day on 600 calories. And then 3 days before the fight, he was so fucked up, his coaches wouldn't let him do the pad session because they didn't want anyone to see how bad he was. So here's his routine. The evening before the weigh-ins, he took two 15-minute water baths every hour from 8 o'clock until 2 a.m. Then he woke up at 5 a.m. and took four more, and all he did 14 baths to cut the final 10 pounds with under 24 hours. Okay, he could barely stand up. It took 2 hours of water and fruit to reach the point where he could actually walk after the weight cut. Okay, and I'm wondering, he fought Neil Magny in that fight. He lost in round one, by the way. In what reality is this even possibly safe? I don't.
Well, what athletic commission is allowing this to happen? They know goddamn well when these fighters show up and fight week, they step on a scale. First fucking thing they do, right then and there, they should be going, "We're not fucking fighting."
No,
you're not fighting. This is not the right weight class. You're cutting goddamn 50 pounds.
Yep.
Again, it's gonna take someone to die. Who's gonna be the lucky person?
Sorry, 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I found it. Two weeks, 45 pounds.
That's smart.
That's insanity, dude. And he's not—he's done it more than once.
Well, it's the UFC's encouraging this, and you know, with Dana White wanting to push the weigh-ins to the afternoons again, there's nobody looking out for the fucking fighter except the athletic commission. Dana White is not looking out for the fighter.
No, he doesn't care,
regardless of what he says.
Nope.
And I forgot what Al Iaquinta was popping off
fuck
about
you.
Recently. Just again that.
Yeah.
Like, fuck everybody. He said, you know, he's fighting Justin Gaethje, I think, next month. And he said, "I'm weighing in the mornings because that's what my contract says. And I am not weighing in the afternoons. You can fire me, but guess what? I don't give a fuck because I don't need to fight. I got houses to sell, bitch."
Yeah, there you go.
"I got another career, so what are you going to do? Like, I want to see that fight, so let the man weigh in the morning."
Yeah. Right? If his contract says that.
Right. And legally, he can, so good.
Yeah. I'm out of news. What else you got?
So I saw GSP. I think he got raped when he was in Africa by a gorilla.
Nice.
He had tweeted this out. It's on the phone. I can pull this up. He said, "This video was taken in Africa seconds after an alpha gorilla charged me. I had to take a submissive posture." Can only imagine.
Is that
GSP.
Like ass up?
Yeah, face down, ass up.
Please fuck me.
"And get out of the way." He said, "One of the most frightening and incredible experiences of my life. Even with all the fight training in the world, I wouldn't have been a match." That just shows him like a little distraught here.
He's wearing all black. Why is he all dressed up?
I don't know. Why are you wearing like a fucking almost a suit in the middle of Bumblefuck Africa.
Is he taping a show or something?
I don't know. I think he's probably just out on his own. He likes to do that weird shit, but
he's all super professionally dressed.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Very scary.
I'm not challenging no gorilla.
I'm not in the mood to mess with these animals. How many stories you hear of like, oh, man or woman gets eaten by this thing or that thing because they thought it was friendly.
Face or their testicles torn off.
Those things are super strong. I'm not messing with that.
Yeah. So that was going on. Did you see Luke Rockhold's leg?
No, what happened?
He said he's got 3 months before he can start training again, and this is what his leg looked like.
Steph?
I don't know what's going on. Somewhat bionic, because he's got some kind of a drain tube, so it may be some sort of staff. But that ain't good. And that's fucked up, because I thought him and Gustafsson were supposed to fight.
Yeah. Soon, though, no? Like fall?
Yeah, and now there's a rumor that Gustafsson is in the market to fight Yoel Romero.
Oh, interesting. He posted like 5 or 6 fights he wants to potentially take.
Just right? Fight someone. I don't know. Quit talking.
Yeah.
How do you think Gustafsson fares against Romero, though? At 205. Imagine a fucking Romero that maybe cuts 10 pounds instead of the 30 or whatever he's cutting to get to goddamn 185.
I'm interested in the explosiveness of Romero against that wicked stuff of Gustafsson. I want to see who wins that. Does distance win, or does aggressive, like explosive athleticism win?
Aggressive,
whatever I said.
Non-cutting weightness of Romero at 205.
I like that too.
So holy shit.
I fear for Gustafsson's safety, as a matter of fact. Angry Romero that is yoked and not cutting weight.
Or how about if Cormier ever came back to light heavyweight, Romero versus Cormier?
Dude, I'd love to see that.
That would be a motherfucker of a fight.
They might kill each other. That could be really exciting.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of good fights at Romero moving up to 205.
I like him moving up. Sounds good.
Did you see Floyd Mayweather said he's putting his MMA plans on hold now?
No.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
I know. Do you believe him? Yeah.
Did he have MMA plans?
I don't know. Maybe he had dreams about being there.
I dream of Genie.
Something.
In a bottle.
That was going on. This is according to Bloody Elbow. Dana White said on UFC 225, people can't respect CM Punk's performance. They're a fucking idiot.
Hey.
Do you respect his performance? I think you do.
I respect the fact he stepped out there and did what he had to do. It was not graceful, but hey. I'm fine with it.
I have no respect for his performance.
Okay.
Disgrace to the sport. Disgrace to embarrassment to the sport. Made $500,000. Oh, the salaries came out. Mm-hmm. Should probably discuss that if I can recall all the salaries. So I think Overeem topped the charts at $850,000.
Not surprising.
Whitaker, I think he made $400,000 the show, but he got all like Romero's money, so I think he made over $600,000.
Wow.
CM Punk, $500,000. The shocking ones were Curtis Blaydes. I think he was on a 32-32.
Yeah.
Ty Tuivasa, I want to say he was on a 14-14.
Wow.
This is for a main card fight.
Yeah, that's low. I'm sure Blaydes got some back-end money, though. That guy is on his way up. He might end up getting...
Yeah, well, he got like all sorts of bonus action. And then the other two other weird ones. So Holly Holm, who was a former UFC champion, 35 the show. 35 to win.
Wow.
And I thought she was making $200,000 when she was a champion.
She was making a couple hundred.
Megan Anderson, $15,000 the show.
Wow.
Like, are you kidding me? This is your only other featherweight that you have who was the Invicta champion at 145, and now you're paying her $15,000? Wow. Yeah. And then I forgot some other people were in that like sub $5,000 range or something crazy.
Yeah.
Something low, but again, some of the salaries seem out of whack compared to where they're ranked. And I think the one that was most blasphemous is probably Holly Holm, 35 as a former UFC champion.
Yep.
When you got fucking Overeem, who's on the undercard, making $850,000, and CM Punk, who's 0-2, making $500,000 in his second fight, first and second fight.
Negotiating good contracts.
Yeah.
We need to get his lawyer.
It's ridiculous. What do you think of Darren Till saying UFC Liverpool weight cut video wasn't as bad as people thought?
I think of course he would say that.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to admit that he's an idiot and or that he probably shouldn't have fought and or that maybe they don't let him fight in the future or make him move up in weight or all kinds of things. It's do or die, Matt.
Cobra Kai?
One for all and all for one.
No mercy?
No mercy.
Mm, I like this.
Sweep the leg.
That's right. So we talk about weight and all that. I read that the UFC is going to let Mackenzie Dern fight at high weight or straw weight again at 115,
really?
Even though she missed weight by, what, fucking 8 pounds?
Yeah.
So they're going to let her fight there again? Again.
They need to fight. They can't, that's what they
well,
got.
In her case, I think this is an indictment against Rose Namajunas being the champion there. I really think they don't like her being the champ.
It's possible.
Because she has short hair.
She's not very ladylike. Retarded. Nothing wrong with short hair.
No, but why do you give Joanna Jędrzejczyk a rematch when it wasn't warranted? Because they liked her as a champ.
Does it? Of course they liked her. They got that Eastern Bloc kind of thing going on.
So now let's keep Mackenzie Dern in the weight class she shouldn't be in to try to challenge her.
They got
to
get her off the top. That's yeah. You know how that goes. The UFC wants something done. They'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But again, it's all let the fighter fight in the wrong weight class. Mm-hmm. We don't care.
Nope.
Seems to be the theme.
Oh,
excuse theme me. Of the UFC.
What else you got?
What the hell is this UFC Ingo thing I keep seeing the UFC post?
Is that really a thing?
Well, I think it's supposed to say in 60, but it looks like Ingo to me.
Oh, nice.
What do you know about Brock Lesnar, Ingo?
I know.
With his retirement and, look what it says, resurgence! The fuck? Come on, we haven't said that in like forever, you sons of bitches.
Is it going to be Brocktober?
It could be.
It could. That would be awesome.
It could be. It could you be come awesome. Back in October, him and
that
John Jones.
It does look like
and then he fights goddamn heavyweight champ. But even after he loses, is he still greenlit for a title shot? Fuck yeah.
He is.
I agree.
He'll sell bazillions of pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's move along to some Ask the Nuts.
Ask the Nuts.
Okay, Wonder Boy wants to ban sidekicks to the knee. After tearing his MCL in the fight against Darren Till, what do you think about that?
I think they should let it fly, man.
Why?
Because it's I don't. What's illegal about it?
Nothing.
Check it.
It's like John Jones did the Rampage.
Yeah. Whack! Check it. It's not. I mean, it's a you know. I don't like all that gray area stuff. I mean, I want the fighters to be safe, but at some point the rules become so restrictive. Now we're looking at like NFL.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. You know? So, I mean, if it was that effective, everybody be throwing it. It's a couple guys maybe that learned how. So learn how to check it. Simple.
Yeah, it's like Holly Holm, John Jones, and now Darren Till, and probably a couple other people.
Yeah.
But who's effective with it, you know?
Jones was okay with
it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think less rules is better. And, you know, originally I was against the oblique kick, and now I'm for it. Because if you're going to hit a guy with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson with that, and he won't move around as much, I'm okay
like
with this.
Yes.
Like, let's stop the movement. I'm the movement, guys.
It seems to only happen to the like that way. Somebody's got that shitty style, take out the leg.
Yeah.
Teach him a lesson.
That's right. I don't think it's dirty. I'd rather see that than eye poke or something.
True.
Who wins Tweet of the Week for this week? All right. Let's start with Ally Aquina. So Conor McGregor had tweeted a picture out of him and his kid walking. Al says, this kid will show up to defend a belt before you do. That's one. And then there, number two, apparently Michael Bisping had a tweet and it got deleted, but I still have the screenshot of it. And it was in response to Colby Covington, but Colby Covington's Twitter account got suspended. So I don't know. This tweet's kind of out of context now. So Michael Bisping says, officer, he threw a boomerang at me and I insulted him and his country. Arrest that man. I'll just leave that here. Or I'll just leave that there. And I don't know what the original response was, but...
Sounds very gay.
It was good.
Was it?
I don't know what it means now.
Damn it! Okay.
So that's two. Now we got Ally Quinte again. He's fucking...
I think he's going to win.
He might be. He's talking about his fight with Justin Gaethje. He said, whip his ass on Saturday. Sell 12 houses on Sunday. This guy's a man.
That's right.
And then Ally Aquina again. Dylan Danis tweets out, he says, I own Bellator. Rajan Al tweets out, you don't even own a home.
That's awesome.
Coming from the real estate agent.
That's awesome.
I like that one.
That's, that wins, I think. Right
and then Ice-T, the last one, he says, happy Motherfuckers Day.
That's pretty
for
good
Father's
too.
Day.
That's pretty
so.
Good too.
Who you got?
I like Aya Quinta.
Yeah, he's on point.
He's very feisty.
I'll go with that one too. You don't even own a home, Dylan Danis.
But I know someone
Dylan
who can
Danis.
Sell you one.
I own Bellator.
Yeah.
And Rodrigo Machado will close it out. It's time. Pound sign Nuts Rule. Pound sign Matt Rape Train. Pound sign Ingo Sugar Daddy. Would you rather play chess with Nick 209 Diaz or go fishing with Jason Mayhem Miller?
I'd do the chess.
Why?
Well, because Mayhem Miller with hooks, he could potentially injure me and or somebody else. Plus, he's fucking crazy. And people usually fish out in the wilderness, and I don't want to be anywhere without other people around with Jason Mayhem Miller at this point because he's crazy. And Diaz might surprise you. I bet you he's pretty fucking good at chess.
I just don't see him being patient enough to play chess with me.
Which
especially
might be cool.
When I beat his ass at chess.
Then we might get, maybe he'll get, we'll get high and roll some jiu-jitsu, and the whole chess thing will just go away. I can get a lesson in jiu-jitsu. Maybe we'll be buddies, and we'll go get some chicken together or something.
Some chicks? You gonna run a train? What
chicken, chicken, not tricks. Chicken. Chicken.
I'm gonna go fishing with Mayhem. That sounds like more interesting.
Okay.
More dangerous.
All right. I'm not doing that.
You know, I might interview him and then be there for 8 hours.
Remember that? Think of the thing.
Feel really uncomfortable. I could kick everybody's ass here. How many are there? There's 8 of you? I'll kick all your asses.
He's smoking weed in front of everybody. Yeah. It's like
making them wait.
It's the best.
Would you rather have the H-bomb of a Dan Henderson or the left hand of a Conor McGregor?
I'll take the left hand. Much more in handy. The H-bomb, when are you going to use that?
Anytime. Every day, all night. You can't get out of line. H-bomb!
But people expect the right. They do not expect the left.
Depends if you're southpaw.
Good point.
What was the worst fight? Tim Punk versus Mike Jackson or Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000?
Kimbo Slice was worse, I think. Remember how sloppy that was?
You know, they both almost died. I think one of them died, and then the wrong one died.
Yeah.
I'll go with CM Punk versus Mike Jackson. Fuck, Mary Kill, Celebrity Edition number 9. You heard me right. Jessica Alba.
Not bad.
She's
got a nice body.
Grandma panties. Okay. Scarlett Johansson.
Easy to rip those off. Scarlett, yeah, I like Scarlett Johansson. That's a fan.
And Margaret Robbie.
Yeah, we're going to kill her. She doesn't excite
played,
me.
Played Harley Quinn.
Yeah, not into that.
And she was also in, what was that, Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolves of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Played his
oh,
wife.
Oh, okay. Was that her?
Yes.
Okay.
She was like spread eagle, like.
Yeah. Not a huge fan. I'm going to kill her. Kill her ass. She was shitty to him in that movie anyways, even though he was fucking crazy. But anyways, I'm going to have to marry Scarlett Johansson, I'm going to say. And I'll just, yeah, Jessica Alba. Just, okay. Just, we'll have a little sex.
I'm killing Alba. I'm Marianne Johansson, oh, and I'm fucking Robbie.
We agree.
No, you killed Robbie. Ah. I'm fucking Robbie.
Oh, you are. Okay. Those boobs.
Something about the name Robbie.
Something about those boobs. Robbie's. You know, remember her, the Johansson? She's got those,
yeah,
that nice
I
rack.
Yeah, I'm marrying her.
This is a very nice rack.
She was very nice in the Avengers-type movie.
Uh-huh.
Knowledge, you got any knowledge?
Yeah, well, I was at some festival thing this weekend, and I discovered a new band. They're called Welshly Arms. I'm telling you about them. You will dig them. I recommend you check them out. They have a new album. Just came out like a month ago or 2 months ago, and it's really solid. It's like a bluesy, kind of a Black Keys meets like more of a modern sound. The singer's voice is really like soulful. I love it. Really good stuff. It's good to work out to, if you like to work out.
What's that? I don't lift weights.
Lift the weights, run the miles, pedal on the bicycle.
You just pump you up.
Yeah. The gym is
hear me now, believe me later.
That's right, Arnold. What do you got? You got anything?
Well, I saw Hannibal Buress. He's a stand-up comedian. He was on, I think, the Seth Meyers show.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was talking about Invicta, and he had paid to put his face in the center of the ring.
Really?
So there's a picture of his face in the middle of the fucking ring, and it looks like he's looking at the ladies fighting.
How does that work?
I don't know, but
can
he did
that?
It. I know. Can I do that?
How expensive is that?
I don't know.
Because it would be worth to spend a little discretionary money if that was reasonable. Just to say we were on some kind of a...
Well, we were on that one banner of the one fight thing. Whatever
that's
that
awesome,
thing was.
It's awesome. I like it.
But that's cool. And then, I don't know if we've seen... I think I've seen this one before. You see this sweet UFC glove tat? I feel like we've seen that before.
I have not.
I don't know. Someone fucking tattooed that on.
That's crazy.
I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, that's a little over the top for me. I'm all for tattoos, but that seems weird. I'm
thinking you're just not rolling with a full deck if you're doing that.
Yeah, it's like the neck tattoos and all that stuff.
Yeah, which is better, this or a neck tat?
Like less stupid?
Yeah.
The neck tat is
Yeah,
less
I agree. This, you're never getting a fucking job with this UFC. You're going to shake someone's hand.
It's the right hand, too.
I know. Like, you're jerking off like you're a fucking fighter, then. That's just wrong.
It's weird.
All right, that's it. Shut down. I got nothing.
That's been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. My name is Ingo Whale.
Matt Griffith. Thanks for playing.